Councilmember Gablich.
Thank you. Actually, you answered a couple of my questions. When we got the report on the seawall in April of 2010, just a couple of months ago, the total estimated cost for the short-term solution was $2 million. So has it gone up to 2.2?
Councilmember Gablich, the $2 million to 2.2 depends upon the extent of the short-term solutions. Mm-hmm. Currently, short-term solutions, if I look at the total costs we have, we include repairs to sinkholes, repairs to the walls, repairs to the bulkheads. So adding these all up, I actually came up with about $2.2 million. Mm-hmm. I think between $2 and $2.2 million is the approximate cost for the short-term solution.
Okay. Still substantially less at this time, less than the $9.8 million that is being requested. When the looking at the page of the history of the canals, and the canals were dredged in 1905, and the canal walls were constructed in 1923, do we have the history related to that? Who paid for them? Was it each property owner? Was it an association?
Councilmember, I don't have specifics, but my understanding is that when Naples was developed, the developer itself constructed the canals. And I believe they used wooden supports at that time, which then collapsed in the earthquake.
I might add to that, that's very similar to the infrastructure we have, for example, our streets, where the bulk of our residential streets were originally built by the developer when they built the homes, and then upon completion turned over to the city for ongoing maintenance. And the original Naples was built by a developer, and then the walls were turned over to the city at that point for ongoing maintenance. And then we know the history afterwards with the earthquake and the subsequent repair.
So in one of the pieces that I was reading that was out there today, it says the California codes equate seawalls with sidewalks. Is that accurate?
Specifically, the Street and Highways Code does, in fact, define sidewalks to include bulkheads, so that is correct.
So that is correct. Okay. So we have a program in this city that, first of all, we get X number of dollars every year to repair our sidewalks, and we divide it equally among the districts. And then for those areas that it's not possible or the property owner is wanting to have those repaired before their turn comes up, there is a 50-50 program. And I think that it would be generous and certainly something that we should consider to develop a program similar to the 50-50 sidewalk program for the residents to participate in that live in Naples and are impacted by these walls that they're experiencing problems with. You know, I've received a number of emails, and I understand, you know, the concern that you have. You live right outside of this. It's deteriorating before your very eyes. But I also have emails from people that live in homeowners associations that say the general public doesn't care about my sidewalks or my streets or my alley. You know, we as an association have to do an assessment. The other program that we just recently approved was the underground utilities in Naples, I believe, as well. And they were willing and ready to commit to doing an assessment on their property. So I'd like to have more of that discussion before we're ready to give away. We just realized, well, we haven't even realized it. It hasn't been discussed by the Port of Long Beach and their agreement to acknowledge what our city auditor has just brought forth. And already we've spent $9 million of this one-time monies. I asked for a list of the Tidelands capital projects, and at the bottom it says this is a preliminary list of critical capital projects in the Tidelands area and is not an exhaustive list. And there are over $320 million of capital improvement projects that affect many hundreds, thousands of citizens and certainly tourists that visit the city every single year. We have an obligation to not just focus on one part of the city, but to be fair about it and to create the programs where everybody can participate to the best of their ability. And so I'm asking for that as a consideration as we further this discussion. I'll be back later.
Thank you. Councilmember Uranga. wondering, of what was the Tidelands Fund CIP budget last year?
Last year, actually this fiscal year, I think is what we're talking about, there were no funds in this budgeted for the CIP.
Zero. And next year, what is the proposed budget?
Next year, we're putting that together, and it's a little premature at this point to indicate what that would be.
So of the $320 million in projects, none of them will ever be realized, at least not in the next year or two?
There is a potential that some may be or could be funded next fiscal year, depending upon the oil prices and where we land at the end of this fiscal year with respect to any kind of one-time surplus money. That's why I indicated it's premature, so I can't tell you yes, I can't tell you no at this point. We're still reviewing those numbers.
So the $9.5 million of Tidelands funds is coming from where?
The recommendation, I believe, is if, in fact, we get the advance from the Harbor Commission, that a portion of that would go towards the seawall repair.
I'm just wondering why now? I mean, wouldn't this be better when we actually get the advance? Someone could answer that. Well, isn't this part of the prudent fiscal decisions we talked about earlier at the study session, that maybe we should wait till we get the money before we decide what to do with it?
Councilman, this certainly would be predicated on getting the money. There is certainly, it would be impossible for us to book this money before we have it. So I believe the council member is requesting us to set this money aside if we're lucky enough to get this money from the port.
Agreed. I would see it being conditioned upon receiving the money from the port.
That's not what this says. Does this also, do we also have a planned public works CIP briefing in our, I know we didn't get through most of our departments this afternoon. In 1 hour, it's a little tough. Do we have one of those planned, and do we have a
Yes, certainly that'll happen.
Fund briefing planned
when,
as well?
When we present the fiscal year 11 budget, that'll certainly happen.
Is that listed in department reviews or department?
That'll come. What we reviewed tonight was basically department organizations and structure. It did not include a review of the fiscal year 11 budget.
Okay. I'm not, the Tidelands are restricted dollars, so I'm not necessarily opposed to utilizing it the way, so long as it's allowable under Tidelands fund use. What I am concerned about is jumping the gun to try to do it before we have a presentation on the Tidelands Fund and before we have a presentation on the transfer, on what may or may not be the outcome of the deliberations from the Port of Long Beach, and before we even have even begun, let alone gotten into the meat of our budget for next year. So I just, this can be the beginning of a lot of council items that says, hey, if you get it, I'm putting a placeholder here so that you fix all the streets in the 7th District on this certain part of town, and that way it kind of ties up the money without really objectively looking at, I'm not saying it's not needed, and I'm sure it is, but how do you tie up money we don't have yet when we haven't even had a presentation in the budget process of either the Tidelands Fund or the budget transfer from the harbor? So I think it's a little premature, not that I'm against it. I just was wondering why now.
Since it's my end, do you want me to speak to that, Mr. Mayor? Well, as I said in my introductory comments, we're behind schedule. We're not ahead of schedule. And this wall, this quadrant, is continuing to deteriorate. What we don't want is we don't want to have a problem occur where they collapse. And all of a sudden, it's not a $9.5 million problem. It's a significantly larger problem for the city of Long Beach. So, this is a maintenance, repair, preventative measure. And I think we need to move forward as aggressively as we possibly can. Would I like to fix all our city streets? Of course I would. But I also know that street that we're not fixing is not going to be a huge problem 3 months from now. Yes, it'll gradually deteriorate. These walls, this quadrant, not the entire seawalls, but this quadrant is in imminent danger of collapse. And that's why I believe that we need to move forward as aggressively as possible. We need to move forward now. We're on borrowed time. And but that's why I brought that
I appreciate
forward.
That. All I'm saying is that, there are many instances where... No, thank you. Finally, we had the flooding in the west side fixed every 3 years. If you're talking about imminent danger of people losing everything in their house to flooding that came up to their doorknob every 2 to 3 years for the last 20 years, I mean, I know, you know, it's nice that we had finally got the money, but we don't have the money. And so I guess I'm trying to figure out, I'm not opposed to this, Gary, please. Believe me, I understand what you're saying, and I think it needs to be done. I'm just, it's like saying, well, you're giving money, you're trying to safeguard money we don't even have yet. And so I think it's just more appropriate to be able to do it when we actually have the money. And I think that anything that would protect people's homes from that kind of danger is very necessary. I think it would have been ridiculous, and you probably would have been the first to vote against it if I would have said, hey, whenever we get the money, I want to make sure that you fix the flooding I made you aware of the problem. I made sure that it was that we looked for the money, and there were different scenarios in how we approach it. But until we got it, there was not a whole lot we could do.
Councilmember Shipsky.
You done? Oh, thank you, Mr. Vice Mayor. I had a question of the city attorney. Now that we've been put on notice, and we have actually for several years, about the status of these seawalls and the fact that the city in the 30s and ongoing accepted federal money to repair them, what is our liability if, in fact, we don't move forward and do something affirmatively to fix the problem?
I really can't give you a simple answer to that, and if I could, I wouldn't state it in public. I'm not going to incur liability for the city based on some contingent future event. I can just indicate that the Streets and Highways Code gives basically to the city the option of requiring that the adjacent homeowners pay for the repairs, or that the city pay for the repairs themselves. In terms of the responsibility, should there be a future calamity, I'm not going to speculate on that.
And I knew you wouldn't. But that being the case, I know if we, in fact, are equating seawalls similarly to sidewalks, because I think the question
the state does. I mean, you can argue with that from a logical standpoint, but the state Streets and Highways Code defines sidewalk as including bulkheads.
Yeah. And my point being on that is that I know because my district has the most damaged sidewalks in the whole city of Long Beach, that, in fact, if we get noticed from a homeowner that a sidewalk has to be fixed because we're concerned about trip and fall, we immediately get out there, not me personally, but the wonderful people in Public Works get out there to make certain that it's patched.
There's no question that a defect in a sidewalk that causes most commonly a trip and fall, the state code clearly says that the city would be liable. The question would be whether or not a failure in the seawall would be analogous to a trip and fall, and I'm not prepared to say that that's true.
Well, and I'm not leading you there. The rest of that point, and I do have a point, is the fact that I know the issue is brought up about, you know, in terms of sidewalk repair. We currently right now do not require residents to fix sidewalks. We fix them. We pay for them. And that's a policy decision that this council made, I think, in the 1980s. Prior to that, they weren't doing that. They were doing like many other cities do now and have done, where they've said to the residents, you know, your sidewalk needs to be fixed. Please fix it, and you've got X amount of time to get it fixed. So I equate this in the same way. I think that the other thing I am concerned about is that if, in fact, these walls do collapse, and, you know, last night we had a terrible earthquake down in Southern County, which we need to be aware of, may move up to the northern section of the state. The difficulty is that if this particular community were to sustain property damage, this city would not like it in many terms, not only because it would have to be obviously fixed at a higher cost, but we would property tax revenue would be reduced because the value of the properties would have been seriously damaged. And I think that is a taxpayer issue. So that's one of the reasons that I've talked with Mr. DeLong extensively about this and support us moving forward if we can with whatever available timelines monies, because I think this is an investment. The city moved forward in the 30s to get from the federal government because they felt it was very important to continue that community. And I think that with that, you know, we need to move forward and do whatever we can to protect all the communities of our city, whether they be flooded in the Arlington area or potentially in the Naples area. So that's why I'm in support.
Thank you. Just a minute. I have something very important to me. Does anybody know what the Laker game is, the score? All right. Okay, now I can go on for the rest of the evening.
We had a T-vote. Thanks, Val.
Councilmember Gablich, please.
Thank you. Just a couple more questions that have just come up. Is all the land up to the seawalls, is that all residential land, private property?
I can answer that. The seawall, and I believe it is 10 feet back from the seawall, is public right-of-way.
Okay.
And then you hit the property line.
Okay. And is there an association? There is not a homeowners association. I guess there was an association back in the 90s. Okay, so there is. Okay, so when I look at the capital improvements, the Tidelands capital project lists, it identifies $60 million worth of needs for seawall repairs in Naples and Treasure Island. That's unbelievable. But I hope everybody recognizes that, you know, we've got hundreds of millions of dollars worth of needs. I'd like to suggest, and one of the suggestions that was actually brought forward is to determine, you know, some kind of a fair share formula. Are you willing to look at that, Gary? And, you know, if it's imminent danger, I mean, I think we've had that discussion, but it sounds like if that is the case, if there is imminent danger, then why don't we find a way to do a partnership? I'm willing to consider a partnership or even the $2.2 million. And then if they want to establish a Mello Roos assessment on the properties, that's an investment in your property. That's what we do. We do it if we want to improve our alleys, if we want to do our sidewalks. That's how you do it. And so I think it's everybody's responsibility to take their fair share, not to take 75% of one-time monies that's going to benefit one small residential community versus the entire city. We have, and I know this isn't life or death, but I would venture to say that, you know, this discussion started back in the 90s with Doug Drummond when the association at that time came back and said, no way, Jose, we don't want to pay any of it. And the walls are still standing today, even though they do continue to deteriorate. But we have bathrooms to the total of $7.7 million along our beachfronts that are unbelievably disgraceful. I invite you to walk into one any weekend. You know, because of the cuts that we've had to make, because we don't have the money to do the repairs on something as simple as a bathroom. So, Gary, are you in a position to, you know, hold this over and let's talk? I mean, I agree with Tonya. I think that when we have the discussion of the Tidelands budget and we get further into the budget decisions, that we look at this as a portion of it. And in the meantime, you can have that discussion with the residents to determine how much, if anything, they're willing to contribute. That's a question to you, yes.
Sure. Well, first of all, let me clarify something. You know, when you refer to it as one neighborhood, it's not one neighborhood. When you look at the boats that are there, you look at people using the canal, you look at who comes to the boat parade, you look at who comes to the holidays, and there's tens of thousands of people there, those are not Naples residents. Those aren't even 3rd District residents. Those are citywide Long Beach people and people from coming to the region. So the first thing you don't want to do is assume this is a Naples asset. It's not. It's an asset that belongs to the city of Long Beach and the region, and those are the folks that use this. And in regards to a fair share or cost sharing, I guess if we ever get to the point, and who knows, we might in the future, the way the budgets go, but if we ever get to the point where we start charging residents to fix potholes and to pave their street and to trim their tree and to do every infrastructure public works project in the city of Long Beach, when residents start paying for those things, well, you're right. I don't think we can exclude seawalls at that point in time, but I think we're at least a few years, if not more, away from that. And secondly, as well, I agree with you, that we have restrooms that need to be upgraded on the beach, no doubt about it. I know Mr. Hester's done a great job in the last couple of years trying to put together funding where he can with the council's approval to make some improvements there. But when I look down the list, I don't see anything more important and with a greater failure potential than these Naples seawalls. And that's why I do support not the entire $60 million, not replacing all of them, but that one quadrant that's an imminent danger of collapse. I really think we need to do that before we have a disaster.
Okay, if I may still have the floor.
You actually are still up for responding to your question.
Another question to you then is, considering the 2.2 million 10 to 15 year fix.
Sure. As I mentioned a couple of months ago when we talked about that, you know, to me, first of all, I think it's questionable about the 10 or 15 years. I know when I talked to the engineer, but it's throwing good money after bad. You're repairing something that you know is going to fall apart. I mean, if you look at the, you know, a cost per year over a period of time, it's much cheaper to fix this thing now, spend the money, get a 75-year life than it is to Band-Aid. I know it hurts the first year. There's no doubt about that. But if you look at it over a long period of time, which hopefully, as a council, we try and look over the long term, not just what's in our short-term best interest, but what's the best long-term solution, clearly replacing that quadrant now is the best long-term solution.
However, you also did support the 50-50 sidewalk program that we initiated because we were having so many problems.
I do.
Do you not think that this would also qualify?
No,
I mean,
I think
residents have to accept some of the responsibility as well, and whatever degree that may be, I don't know. But I think that it deserves, the entire city of Long Beach deserves the consideration of having that discussion and seeing what level of participation you get from the residents. I can't redo my driveway without everybody agreeing and doing an assessment on the alley. So, you know, I don't see that as being any different.
Well, I mean, first of all, that's not necessarily the case. I mean, if you're in an alley and you want to do that section behind your house, and we've had some residents do that, and just do your section,
no,
you can. You don't need to get everybody up and down the alley to do it. We've done it in the 3rd District. Secondly, if it was another quadrant where one that's not in imminent danger of collapse, yep, it needs repairs, but that resident said, hey, I feel so strongly I want to pay to have the seawall in front of my house done, sure, I think some kind of fair share would be entirely appropriate, because from a city perspective, okay, we don't think that absolutely needs to be fixed now.
Councilman Gavlich, this has turned into a debate, and I'm going to pull it back in here.
Okay,
thank you.
Well,
anything
I guess, you know, one more statement, and then I'm done. You know, the seawalls were not built with public funds. The state recognizes them as the same opportunity as a sidewalk. And again, I feel that it is certainly, we don't want to pay if we don't have to, but I believe that everybody has to be somewhat responsible. And at the very least, I hope that this will be carried over until we get into budget discussions and then determine what level of support we're going to give, whether it be the 2.2, 10 to 15 year fix, and some of our streets don't last that long, or if it's going to be the 9 million, 75% of the one-time monies. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember O'Donnell.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Mayor, and I'll be quick here. Listen, Mr. DeLong, I realize this is an urgent situation. I know folks who live out there. I've been in, you know, in those canals myself many a day, so I very much appreciate the situation. But we also need to look at the other half of this, which has been brought up by the other end down there, and that is that we have other urgent needs. We're looking at laying off lifeguards, eliminating public safety on the beach, and that's you know, those are dire needs as well. So the idea here is to find some balance. You know, we don't just want to take these dollars and apply them to one problem, and then we've got a ballooning problem somewhere else. So I think that's why we're having this debate tonight. That's why we're trying to figure out where the best place for this city to go is. A couple questions. I see the port out there, and I do have a question from the port. And I haven't heard from the port. I know they have a variety of infrastructure projects planned already in the works. Would this double hit, if you will, the doubling of the transfer in 1 year, harm the port in any way?
We don't have
No one's from the port.
O'Donnell, there's nobody recognized from the port here.
I am. There's someone up there.
Yeah.
Completely appropriate.
Well,
they
can
hold on.
Mr.
No. Excuse me. We have someone from the port. Let her come down and share her opinion.
Mr. Shannon,
I don't believe the Harbor Commission has expressed a position on this. I think it probably would be inappropriate for a member of staff to jump ahead of their own commission with regard to whether or not they feel it's appropriate to make that transfer.
So okay, done. But I think I raised a good question, didn't I? That's what that tells me. And Mr. DeLong, you know, kind of a blitz here tonight, quite frankly, but great move. You know, you're advocating strongly for your neighborhood, and I understand that. But how is it that you knew about these funds and this was all coming up and I didn't? Question. And I guess, you know, the use of these port dollars, there's other priorities. We've got the pool. We've got, again, you know, lifeguards, et cetera. And maybe this is the best place to put them. But I think that's reasonable to ponder the questions the folks down there have brought up. And we've got a breakwater study coming up. We're going to need to find dollars for that. And certainly it wouldn't take $10 million to do it, but it is going to be a substantial sum, and we'll have that conversation next week. So again, you know, let's see where this conversation goes, and I thank you.
Thank you, Mr. O'Donnell. Councilmember Urania.
I just have two quick questions. The $9 million that is tackling the $60 million problem, is there any other area that is in imminent danger of being at risk as this area? Or is it just another problem we're kicking the can, as the mayor likes to say, down the road, and are we going to be here 2 years from now talking about another section?
Vice Mayor, members of City Council, this was identified as the most deteriorated area of the seawalls under the seawall report that was prepared last year.
And the next level is how far away?
As far as remaining life, the remaining life of this area was estimated at 5 years 1 year ago. I don't have timelines for the rest of them, but they were not identified as urgent as this location.
Okay. And so the $9 million will fix this section?
That's correct, from the Toledo to Ravenna Drive.
Okay. And then I just wanted clarification. You mean if I called and tell you that someone slipped and fell and broke their nose and or hand, that someone goes out and fixes the sidewalk? I thought they just put it on the list and tell them, file a claim with the city attorney, because that's been my experience. So you're saying all I have to do is that someone is, like, at risk,
Mr.
or
Shannon,
that they actually did fall? Because that's not been my experience.
It's to the extent that it comes to our attention. When somebody files a claim, we contact the Public Works Department and request that a corrections be made.
And council member.
And then you deny the claim most of the time. It's usually what happens. I mean, I don't, it's not like we haven't asked for those. I mean, we have several, I mean, you know our list.
Council member, I think the reference earlier was to uplifted sidewalks, and our Public Service Bureau goes out and does sidewalk patches, and we do those when we're on notice that there is an uplifted sidewalk.
Thank you. Anything else?
You know, I think that we need to get to a place where we can all agree on this. I still don't think that this is prudent at this time. However, if these people are waiting to have their area safe and secure, and I think the $9 million will do that, my concern is the rest of whatever transfer we get, I think really needs to be, the use needs to be scrutinized, and the recommendation needs to come from the entire council, not just from one area, one neighborhood, or one council person. I think that also from what's been discussed, because there has been that need, that maybe somehow there is a $51 million gap here, that there has to be some creative ways, either through either residence sharing or some other type of prioritization, so we have a 10-year plan, a 5-year plan, or whatever, because we do want to look at this as a comprehensive approach. I'm not going to ask you, Gary, because that's what staff's for, but do we have a plan to, in the next 5 or 10 years, to try to tackle this in terms of trying to get a plan for the restoration of the seawalls? If that is the number one priority, then this whole list should just be thrown away and focus on that. If that's what is wrong, and we're looking at property and unfortunately, hopefully not life, but damage to property, then that should be the sole focus, and we should have a long-range plan to try to fix that. But I don't know. Is there anything on the books?
Councilmember Urania, there isn't a long-range budget to address all of the seawalls at this time. So we're attempting to address the one that is in the most deteriorated state, which is a $9.5 million permanent fix.
Okay, and that will take, I didn't remember the presentation, it will take how long? Once and if we get the money?
We're expecting it to take approximately a year for completion.
Okay, so well within the hopefully 5 years or 4 years left of those 5 years that...
That's correct.
Okay, so we'll cross our fingers. Okay, I just think that Gary, you know, I think that the $9 million is going to be well worth it for the security and the peace of mind for the community. I just really think you need to you need to allow us to take a look at the rest of the Thailand's dollars and the rest of the Thailand's projects, and this council needs to prioritize how that, if we do receive any money beyond the 9, well, we're going to get 12, hopefully, that we take a good, strong look and that everyone weighs in on what's needed, and that we have a long-range plan for fixing the rest of the seawalls. I just, it would have been nice if we would have had this information during the study session for, wasn't the presentation that was made on the seawall, so we can all come to a consensus and the residents there wouldn't have to see this council actually having to discuss their property and actually, you know, something that's more important to them than anything, which is their home and their, and potentially, you know, the loss of life publicly like this. But, you know, that's what happens sometimes.
Councilmember Chipke.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Mayor. And I don't know if the staff may have the answer to this, but is it possible that down the line the city can use, there's a specific law called infrastructure financing districts, that they're very similar to redevelopment, but it requires two-thirds of the vote of the residents, and it's for specific infrastructure projects. And what it does is it takes the tax increments, so they're not taxed, but it takes the tax increment, just like it does redevelopment, and it allows it to be used, and you can do bonding on it. And it's got to be for a very specific, it's not for maintenance, it's for the construction. They're using it in San Diego, they're using it in other communities in California because it's allowable. So is that something down the line we can look at for the complete financing of the seawall repair?
Councilmember, we can certainly look at that. Our initial look at that provision, it basically takes the tax increment away from the general fund. So it would be taking money that would primarily go to the general fund and setting that aside for this. So,
as you do in 43% of the city for redevelopment. So I would think that this might be something that could be funded that way.
It could, but again, our initial look showed that it would be taking money away from the general fund in areas that are
could
not.
Could we get some costing on that to
we
see
sure
if, in
can,
fact,
yes.
That's a possibility? Because even if the $9 million or whatever amount initially comes into repair, if the entire assessment is $60 million for the entire seawalls, you know, that's got to be covered somewhere, and that might be a way to do that. Particularly because the tax increment in that particular area is higher, and so it might be able to be funded a lot sooner, and it wouldn't affect the individuals. They wouldn't be being assessed individually. It would be something that could just be moved in and bonded on. So if we could get that at some point, that would be helpful, because this is, whether or not we do this tonight, we need an ultimate solution for funding.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Councilmember DeLong.
I'll defer. I think we're need to get to public comment here, so I'll pass.
Councilmember Gablett, excuse me, O'Donnell.
Mr. Mayor, I prefer to hear from the citizens.
Okay. Councilmember Gablett, we're now the third time around for people speaking.
I understand that. Question: does the Tidelands have a $6 to $8 million shortfall? Did I understand that correctly? And then my second question is: are we not believing that the Tidelands fund will be depleted by 2013 or 2014?
Lorianne Farrell will answer those.
Council members, has been reported to the council during our Tidelands study sessions. The Tidelands operating fund is facing a structural deficit where its revenues are exceeding its expenses and is starting to draw down on its fund balance considerably, and the current estimate is about $6 to $8 million a year.
Shortfall.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And then how is it being backfilled? Or it's not, we're just not doing anything?
Well, currently we are drawing down on the fund balance. Also, as oil exceeds our budgeted projection or our ongoing revenue estimate of $45 a barrel, that also assists to include more into the fund balance. But as we've discussed before, we recommend that be used for one-time resources, because you can't depend on oil. It's such an unpredictable commodity.
Exactly. And in terms of the fund being depleted, do you have a year for that?
Our projections were 2013, so it's about 2013, 2014 when we would have exhausted the fund balance and the Thailand's operating fund.
I would like to make a substitute motion, and that would be that we refer this for further discussion during the budget review of the Thailand's fund.
Is there a second? We have a first. We have a motion and a second. Substitute motion. Okay, thank you, Councilmember Andrews.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Vice Mayor. You know, Ray, I'm listening to your comments and also with yours, Mr. DeLong. I think a lot of this really is predicated on whether we do get the money, and a lot of this, I think, we wait around a little long, like over in Arlington. It was on the books that there was a problem there. And, you know, we waited, and all of a sudden we had a storm, and there was a problem. I don't think we should look at this as a Naples situation. I think we should look at this as a problem that we're having. We should have, I don't care whether it's in this 6th, 5th, 4th, 3rd district, if there's a problem, we should try to fix it as best way we can, not wait until afterwards. So this is just my comment on this. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. 5th, 6th district. Councilmember Garcia.
I was just going to just concur. I think the one thing about the canals, I think, and just the area is that it certainly is it is a citywide asset. And I absolutely believe that this is – we're talking about not just properties, but we're talking about something that I personally have enjoyed many times, going through the canal. And just when someone says, you know, what are some of the best things to view in Long Beach, one of the first places I send them to is go take a gondola ride or walk the canals. And so I want to thank all of you for being here today and for showing your support. I do think, while it certainly, I think, comes across as a lot of money, and I think there's a general impression of, wow, we're spending, you know, $9.5 million on this, it is a public infrastructure issue. I think that we do, as a city, have to be accountable to our public infrastructure. But I'm also interested in you know, if we're going to be accounting for this 9.5, which I intend to support tonight, I do think the remaining 2.5 that's left, if we were able to get the money through the transfer, I think should be discussed as soon as possible, because I know there's a lot of other projects that are there as well. So I look forward to the comments from the public. Thank you.
Well, everybody else got to speak 2 and 3 times. And I'm not going to say anything other, thank God, it's only 31 days I have left. but who's counting? Can the public now speak on item number 29?